Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest instalment of the Talking Rugby Union podcast. My name's Joe Harvey, and as ever, I'm joined by Chris Hill, who is yet again on the phone.
Yeah, no, Joe, we've not seen each other for...
A week?
7-8 days.
Yeah.
It's a rarity. A rarity that we've not been sitting on trains or sitting in the office together.
Well, I've been sitting on trains. I was down in London on Tuesday. I went, had a little bit of a social occasion. When was that? That was like 2 days ago. I had a bit of a social occasion 2 days ago, but... Yeah, it's been a bit weird, mate. We've not been out and about or anything.
No, but I mean, we've got a couple of things in the pipeline for October, so looking forward to getting stuck into that. So
To be fair, we're not going to say anything now, but I've seen the plans, and I'm particularly excited for a couple of them, mainly because one of them's in a bar.
Yes, indeed. No, well, it's in the early morning, so it'll be probably people will be staring at us when they're having a breakfast show, and we're having a pint, so... but we'll get to that when we come to it.
Yeah, of course. So, of course, as ever, there's been a few World Cup games that have been going on and keeping myself and Chris occupied, as well as, well, just general life and other commitments that we have outside of rugby. So when we last had a little podcast, we were talking about England's game against the USA, where they won 45-7.
Yeah.
Now, England, of course, haven't played since then. They play tomorrow, which will be the 5th of October. Since England played, there's been Argentina versus Tonga, which we'll pretty much breeze over because it was a pretty standard Argentina 28-12 win. I think Montoya scored a hat-trick of tries within 30 minutes for that one. That was it wasn't a particularly good watch, as I remember. And then instantly, we've got a great result here. Japan beating Ireland 19-12.
Yeah, it's we were always talking about where the shots were going to come in. I don't think many people before the tournament would have said Japan-Ireland was going to be the shot. We might have said beating Scotland was possibly the one that they were going to target, but what a performance it was by Japan. I mean, I've just spoken to Simon Hammersley-Joe, who's going to be doing a column for us ahead of the England game tomorrow, and he said, you know, it wasn't sort of similar to the Brighton game where they snatched it late on, or it was that sort of drama. It was very sort of a professional display from Japan.
Mm.
You know, they kept the scoreboard ticking over when they could, but they just matched Ireland up as best as possible. And then from there, they were able to score a few tries and hold Ireland out. And I know Ireland made a lot of changes, but Japan looked absolutely brilliant in that game. And now that pool A has been blown wide open with obviously Scotland winning earlier this week. So, it's great, isn't it, Joe, though, to see the whole nation get such a result like that. It just brings so much to the tournament, and I'm sure Japan's next game is against Samoa, isn't it? So even for that game, they'll be hoping, right, let's get another win under the belt, and that's got all riding on that Scotland game next Sunday.
Yeah, because it's not wholly unrealistic now to think that Japan are going to top this pool and be the top seed from their group, which has, as we've said, Ireland and Scotland in it, to go on and progress and have a better tie than maybe a lot of people anticipated.
I know. Is there a better tie, though, between South Africa and New Zealand?
Well, when you put it like that, I mean...
but, you know, that's what they're there to do, isn't it, Jeremy? Mm. One of you competing against these Tier 1 nations, and, you know, a dream quarter-final in a way for the occasion to play one of South Africa and New Zealand, arguably the two favourites for the tournament. And, it's, you know, what a thing it would do to Japanese rugby to play one of those two teams. So, and obviously we know they've beaten South Africa in the past, so you can't rule anything out, but yeah... Like you say, Joe, they've got a really good chance of topping this pool, which, again, I don't think many people would have expected at the start of the tournament.
Yeah, and we talk about this South Africa team. Currently, we'll give you all a peek behind the curtain. At the minute, South Africa are playing Italy in Shizuoka. That was an absolute butchery. And they are winning currently 17-3, 5 minutes to go until half-time. We're actually going to talk about their last game now, funnily enough. They beat South Africa... South Africa beat Namibia 57-3... I think that was probably the result that was expected, and it definitely has set up South Africa very well going into this game against Italy, that they are still winning. Time's off right now. The hooker is receiving some treatment. The following day, Georgia beat Uruguay, who had a four-day turnaround after their historic win over Fiji. Good to see Georgia getting back and winning back to winning ways. Chris, this is your pool. This was Pool D Sunday for you.
Yeah, it was Pool D Sunday. I think... there was sort of a lot of excitement about Uruguay, and they were very much going to target that game against Georgia because of the importance of the third place finish that we've talked about in the past with Olympic, with qualification for the next World Cup. in 2023. And yeah, I think that 4-day turnaround you've mentioned there, Joe, definitely sort of affected them. They put so much into that Fiji game, and you know, the 4-day turnaround was probably too short for them. And yeah, Georgia, you know, probably had a long, hard look at themselves, because I think they were a lot better in the second half against Wales than they showed in the first half, and it was a great win for them. And I know we'll come on to it, their game, either was it yesterday or a couple of days ago, I can't remember, against Fiji. It just shows that you know, Georgia winning, they were probably right, this is our chance now against Fiji, and Fiji have done what Georgia did to Uruguay in a way, so good for Georgia. But now Fiji seem to be in control now for that third place.
Yeah, and they do certainly seem so. I think Fiji are now actually in second place, surprisingly, because Australia, Australia lost to Wales 25-29 at the Tokyo Stadium. That was one of the best games of rugby I think I've watched this tournament.
It was incredible, wasn't it? I think from the word go, when Dan Bigger slots a drop goal after, what was it, 35 seconds or 37 seconds, or something like that. It's really set the tone for the game, didn't it? And it was such a great first half performance of Wales. They were, you know, they were in control of the scoreboard, but Australia did exactly what they did against Fiji. You know, they unloaded the bench, started to turn the screw, and that sort of last 10, 15 minutes was just gripping. You couldn't take your eyes off it. But what a win for Wales. You know, I think you correctly predicted, Joe, that Wales would get the job done against Australia. Now I went for Australia. And, you know, it's a great, great win for Wales. They know the importance of topping this pool, because it's, you know, as we said, it's likely to potentially be France or Argentina that they will face in the quarterfinals rather than England, as many people expect. So it was a great performance from Wales. For Gareth Davis was excellent again. A couple of interceptions and one that actually came off for him, didn't it? And the back three were excellent again. So considering all the sort of talk about Wales going into the tournament with the Rob Howley stuff, a brilliant sort of a complete performance against Georgia in terms of the result and the bonus point was followed up by a win against Australia, which they rarely do. So Warren Gatland would be very, very happy to be going into Uruguay and Fiji with pretty much the job done, I'd say.
Yeah, and there was one blip, though, we must confess. Dan Bigger going off with a HIA in the first half.
Yeah, he put his body on the line, didn't he? And I thought, you know, Hooper was incredibly lucky not to get a card for that. You know, he was very, very cynical. And, you know, he's looking at the screen. And I think someone said, I think he might have even said, I think it might have been Flatman on commentary, or it might have been another instance during a game that a player sort of thought he was going to get carded, and he was already sort of looking to the bench as if he was about to come off. I'm not sure whether it was Hooper or somebody else, but yeah, he was very, very lucky not to get a card. And there were a couple of dodgy incidents, weren't there, in that game in terms of tackle height and leading with the forearm and stuff. So, as always, the refereeing decisions have been in the spotlight during this World Cup, and hopefully he doesn't sort of dominate this World Cup, because so far it's been a really good tournament.
Yeah, of course, it's been great. Of course, you're talking about that Karevi incident against Lewis Patchell kind of late on in that first half. It was... Yeah, it was definitely a foul, but I wouldn't, you know, nothing more than that.
Yeah, I mean, Patchell, you know, it's a standard back looking at someone who's absolutely huge running towards him, and I think he sort of braces himself for the tackle and thinks, oh, he might try and go left or he might try and go right, but he just goes straight in front of him. So Karevi's then having to, you know, use his forearm to try and get past him, and yes, you shouldn't be raising your forearm in the tackle, but yeah, I think it was one of those where the position of Patchell, who just stood there and braced himself, didn't really help the situation. But yeah, there were a couple of calls, and I think from a Welsh perspective, they would have liked to have seen a card for Australia on Sunday. But nevertheless, it didn't cost Wales the game, and they got the all-important win.
Yeah, a day after Wales toppled Australia in Tokyo, Scotland took on Samoa at the Kobe Misaki Stadium and won a pretty astounding 34-0. I don't know if you've spoken to Gary Heatley, but I'm sure he was absolutely bouncing around the walls.
Yeah, he would have been, and I think Scotland would have been just very happy with the way they performed. I mean, they eventually got the bonus point, and that was all important for them to really turn up and show what they can do. And now, you know, they're playing Samoa, and many people expected Scotland to win the game. But, you know, to put in that performance, nil Samoa after sort of the very dismal and, as you said, Joe, hapless display against Ireland in the opening game, well, such a massive result for Scotland. And now, obviously, we always say all eyes will be looking towards that Japan game at the final, at the final day of the pool stage. But yeah, Scotland will be happy to get that result in the belt, but going into their game against Russia with that confidence that, you know, their sort of result against Ireland has now sort of been brushed under the carpet slightly because of Japan's win over Ireland and Scotland's own win over Samoa. So, yeah, pleasing for Grenville Townsend. He would have been pleased. Probably a few things he would have wanted to work on as well, but, you know, they've got Russia coming up next, and then, like you said, the big game against Japan, they'll hopefully be firing all cylinders to get past that and into the quarterfinals from their point of view.
Yeah, Samoa reduced to 14 men in that game because of Ed Fiedau's two yellow card offences. He's on his way to Worcester, so hopefully Ethan Waller has fun making friends with him. On Wednesday, so there was a little break on Tuesday. I can't remember what I did on Tuesday. I probably had a very nice chilled out day by the sound of things, if there was no games on.
I mean, I was just going through ITV, nothing there. Yeah. ITV4, nothing there. That was quite a strange one. It was quite a strange one to have no games on a Tuesday. And that's the thing, like, people have said, people who don't, like, really follow rugby, I know, have said, don't they draw the tournament out so long, you know? It's like a month and a half, and you realise that there's massive gaps sometimes in the day, so it was a bit of a strange one to have no rugby on Tuesday.
Player welfare, of course, is paramount. On Wednesday, we jumped straight into two games that I kind of wanted to see at the head of the tournament. France took on the USA, winning 33-9. It looks like it's all a little too late for the USA, who played well for 65 minutes in this game. AJ McGinty having a really good game, actually.
Yeah. We always repeat ourselves, don't we, Joe? It's like, France are France, aren't they? You know, yeah. They started off really, really strong, and yes, they came strong to get the result they wanted towards the end, but you quite rightly say there that USA gave a really good account of themselves for an hour or so, and I think it was it like 12-9 at one stage, I think it was, in the game. So, you know, France just made hard work of it yet again, but, you know, they're winning the games, they're getting themselves, you know, into a position where they can go into that final game against England with hopes of finishing top of the pool. And, you know, they still have this, you know, great sort of young players that they've got a bit of magic around the pitch that can cause team problems, but they can't do it for 80 minutes. And how many times have we said that? I don't know. But yeah, they did make heavy weather of it against France, and I do think now the USA will be thinking that's probably their hopes of trying to get into the top two well and truly over, and I think they'll try and focus on now those couple of games against Tonga. I think, I'm not sure if it's Tonga next for them, I think it is. And then obviously they play Argentina as well, so they'll be hoping to get some points on the board to try and finish in that third spot to qualify for the next World Cup. But like you say, Joe, I think it's a little bit too late, but France just getting the job done and going under the radar again, I think.
Yeah, of course, and it now basically is a penalty shootout between France and Argentina to get that second place and try and get out of the pool. The next game on Wednesday was one I'm particularly keen to forget, because it was when New Zealand took on Canada at Oyster Stadium and won 63-0.
Yeah, well, you know, when we were assigning games to do, Joe, I think I just thought, oh, you know, All Blacks against Canada, Joe will want to do that. He'll want to see Canada against the world's best team. But then, you know, about 20 minutes into the game, I saw for Joe's not going to be loving life at this moment. It was just ruthless, wasn't it, from New Zealand? But again, they'll be happy with it. No injuries. You know, I'd be surprised that both Barrett and Mwanga played. I think they played the whole game, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they did, actually. Now you've mentioned it. Yeah, it was a pretty resounding performance.
Resounding's a word, isn't it? They just looked every inch, you know, the clinical, ruthless New Zealand. And, you know, obviously, you expect, and no disrespect to Canada, that you expect New Zealand to win that game. But it was just very, very comfortable. I think there's probably a few moments in the game, Joe, where Canada had a few, you know, chances, half chances, if you like. But other than that, it was complete New Zealand dominance, and we didn't really expect anything else, really.
Yeah, there was a break by the scrum half, Gordon McCrory. And that resulted in the ball ended up in Peter Nelson's hands, and I think if it was a Tier 1 nation or someone a bit closer to New Zealand standards, I think it would have been converted. It was always going to be one of those that Canada were always going to steal a try if they were to get one on the break, or kind of a little cheeky one that no one was expecting to happen. It was it wasn't even a disheartening performance. It was kind of what you expect, and I think when I tweeted out the article that I wrote as a result of that game, I think I said it was exactly what was expected.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think ITV showed New Zealand's I think it was their results from 2011, was it? No, when did, or 2007, I think it was, and they scored, the, you know, some ridiculous score lines, putting 70 points, 80 points in these teams. And I think the question was asked of Fitzpatrick in the studio. He was like, well, do you think New Zealand are going to be undercooked because they've, you know, they've not really been tested other than South Africa aside in this pool? And he was just like, no, I think they're just going to take it in the stride. And I think that performance against Canada showed how professional they were. And they'll take that into these next, their last couple of pool games, which you fully expect them to win as well. And, you know, they'll be hoping to set up an easier, if you like, quarterfinal with, who knows, Japan, Scotland or Ireland. So, yeah, New Zealand in a fantastic position there after all the talk about whether they were going to be as strong as they have been in previous World Cups before the tournament started.
Yeah, of course. And now, there wasn't a gap, I was actually about to say. I missed the Georgia-Fiji game because of intoxication reasons, and essentially, you know, I've just got to be honest about it. I was having a very substandard night out, and Georgia lost to Fiji in Hanazono, 10-45 it was. Semi Radradra, I just watched the highlights last night. It seemed to absolutely fly off the chains.
Yeah, it was one of the players that a lot of people who have sort of watched Fiji over the last couple of years or seen him in the lead-up to the World Cup have talked about his try scoring record's absolutely phenomenal. And I think it showed in that game, and seeing him at full flight for Georgia probably wasn't ideal after their short turnaround after Uruguay as well. So that's what I said before. I think the turnaround for Georgia after that game was similar to Uruguay facing Georgia on Sunday. So, yeah, Fiji will be delighted with that. They've, you know, over, you know, 65 minutes against Australia was very, very good, but they were so, so poor against Uruguay. As much as Uruguay played well, Fiji didn't help themselves. So they'll be very happy with that, Fiji, and they're going to, and I think they've got Wales next on Wednesday coming up. So they'll be hoping to, you know, clean slate now. They've got that Georgia win under the belt, and they'll be going to try and give Wales a bit of a scare and a bit of a challenge. So it will be actually quite an interesting game on Wednesday. I know we've talked about Wales being in control of this pool now, but if Fiji sort of get their head straight and say, well, we put in a great performance against Australia for a large portion of the game, why can't we trouble Wales, then we could be in for a more interesting game than expected, I think.
Yeah, it looked an outstanding game. When you consider it at half time, it was 3-7. That really tells you something about it.
Just unleashed them, though.
Yeah, it looked a very good game, and I was somewhat sad to miss it, especially after I had to watch the Ireland versus Russia game, in which Ireland won 35-0 in Kobe, Misaki. Again, it feels like we say this quite a lot at the minute during this tournament, but the result you expect.
If you agree, Joe, I don't think it was the performance that Ireland wanted.
No.
I think Joe Smith said after that there was more positives than negatives out of it, and yes, okay, they got the win and they got the bonus point and the back on track, but I think it was very lackluster. I think it was there wasn't the same intensity as you expect from Ireland. I mean, you saw against Scotland that Scotland really came out with a point to prove. I know Ireland scored a couple of early tries. But I feel like they just sort of were like, right, job's going to be done. We don't have to, you know, put ourselves out there and overstretch ourselves to get the bonus point. But it just seemed a little bit laboured towards the end for Ireland. But, you know, Joe Smith will look at it. I don't think many people remember the performance. They'll look at the fact that they've got the 5 points after losing to Japan. And now they will try and finish off against Samoa with a victory that hopefully gets there for them, gets them on top of pool A for a potential quarterfinal against South Africa. But yeah, like I say, Joe, didn't really expect anything else. I thought Russia, you know, gave a good account of themselves. You know, I think there was a stat that they normally ship about on average 40 points in a game at World Cups or in big test matches. So they'll be happy to have restricted Ireland to just the 35. But yeah, it was the outcome I think we all expected, despite Ireland's surprise defeat to Japan.
Yeah, and I think, this is more of an aside, but I think the likes of Reece Ruddock, Gary Ringrose, and Keith Earls really shone in that game. Right, currently half-time between South Africa and Italy. South Africa winning 17-3 as we speak. If the result changes and we do not update you, I'm going to presume that South Africa are going to have won. if you also get a chance, read Seb Negri's latest column where he discusses why playing South Africa is so important to him, having grown up in the country after having to leave Zimbabwe at a fairly young age. So there's three games tomorrow. Three pretty good games, actually, by the looks of things. Australia are playing Uruguay. Are you doing the match report for that one, Chris?
No, I'm not doing that one tomorrow, Joe. No, I'm on Wales duty over the next couple of games, unless something dramatic happens and Uruguay decides to beat Australia. So, no, I'm not doing that one tomorrow.
Okay, so Australia versus Uruguay. Initial appearances, Australia win by at least 20 points.
Prediction straight out there, Joe. Yeah, I think Australia will be... not really after the Wales game, but they want to bounce back, and you know you fully expect them to do that against against Uruguay. I don't think there's anything that suggests otherwise. I think Michael Checker will be hoping for a better referee performance before he starts moaning in a press conference like he's done for quite a couple of the definitely after the first two games. So he'll be hoping for a much more straightforward afternoon for his side. They've been put under serious pressure in the last couple of games, so he'll be hoping that his Australian side can get the job done as quickly as possible, get the 5 points and move on to the final game of the pool stages. So yeah, fully expect them to get the day off to a winning start.
Yeah, of course. And then the second game that day is a 9 a.m. kickoff for anyone wondering when England are playing. England are playing Argentina at the Tokyo Stadium. First time I think England have played in the capital of this tournament. England's squad, all right, I've got it in front of me. Joe Marler starts for the third game on the trot. Jamie George at hooker. Carl Sinclair is at tight head. Maritoje, George Cruz. Tom Curry, Sam Underhill, Billy Vonopola at number eight. So Billy starts yet another game. At number eight, Ben Youngs, interestingly, still selected at scrum half. George Ford, imperious against the USA, so I have no problem with him starting. Johnny May on that left wing. Owen Farrell is captaining the side at inside centre. Manu Tuilagi gets all that freedom at 13 once more. Anthony Watson is on the right wing, and Elliot Daly at fullback. Chris, this is a pretty full ball team.
Full squad there from Eddie. I think if he was picking that team for the quarter final, I think it probably would be that or very, very similar to that. I think the most interesting thing, Joe, which I don't know whether you were going to come on to, is the bench for England. You know, Marco Vonopola on the bench, Henry Slade on the bench, and Jack Noel on the bench. So, you know, he's probably thinking now, if England do get the job done inside sort of 55 minutes against Argentina and they've looked in control, then it's the time to give Slade a bit more game time after he, you know, sort of picked up that knock against Tonga, but more so Mako and Jack Noel. And then, you know, that will help him make a decision for a quarterfinal, I think, or even that last France game. So, you know, it's a strong game. It was very similar against Tonga, and England will be hoping for a quicker start than they had against Tonga, because, you know, we've said they have sort of been not a full pelt yet in terms of the performance. They haven't, you know, blown teams away. But this is their first real test. And, you know, if England can get the job done and there's not many question marks raised after the game, that will please Eddie Jones going into what should be a pool, top of the pool decider against France next weekend.
Yeah, I am particularly looking forward to this one. I think it's going to be a tight one. I'm going to say something like England win by maybe 7 points.
That's tight, you reckon?
Yeah,
I think you maybe double that or slightly over double, so maybe like a 16-17, Joe. Just because I know Argentina, you know, everyone's talked about they're going to be a big test for England. Argentina, I know I've said it a number of times in the podcast, they haven't won a game for ages.
True.
Other than playing Tonga, they haven't. You know, they haven't put a significant result down. So I do think, you know, okay, they played really well against France in that second half. They came back, but I just think that England will have far too much than they know. France's first half performance against Argentina showed that France was sort of in a different level at one stage, and I think England are at that level for a more consistent time during the game. I think that will be too much for Argentina to handle, but you know, if Argentina do cause England a few problems, I think England will try and look to slow them down as much as they can. And if Argentina do manage to get quick ball and get the backs in play, then I think they could cause England problems. But I fully expect England to get the job done on tomorrow morning at, what time is it, 9 o'clock kickoff?
9 a.m. kickoff, so fairly social time.
Indeed.
The game after that is 11:30, Japan versus Samoa. I'm just going to instantly say Japan win. And then it's all down to that last game.
I mean, Yeah, I can't say anything else, to be honest, Joe. I think they'll be so massively, massively confident after beating Ireland, and everyone will be around them. And I mean, if they're feeling a bit tired after the exertions of Ireland a week ago, then I think the crowd will carry them through it. I think it's a big game for Samoa. You know, they got the win against Russia, and this will be the sort of second game they would have targeted. So they'll be bang up for the challenge. So expect them to be, you know, physical from the outset. But yeah, I think Japan will be have enough in the tank to carry them home in this one.
Carry them home, see what you did there, mate. Sunday, New Zealand playing Namibia at 6:15 in the morning. Thankfully, I'm not doing the match report for this game. New Zealand's, I believe, are starting Jordy Barrett at fly half.
Let me just... is that confirmed, is it? I've not had a look to it today on the old Twitter of the teams, but that's interesting, isn't it? You know, they go full, you know, Mwanga, Bowden, Barrett 15, and Mwanga at 10 during Canada, and then he goes with a different Barrett at 10 for this one.
He just loves the Barretts.
Yeah, I mean, they all scored them against Canada, so, but, yeah. I mean, that's just the strength that New Zealand have found themselves in. I'm just trying to look at the squad now while we're talking, Joe. Yeah, I know he is. You're right, Joe.
That is scary.
An interesting one, isn't it? But, I mean, you're looking at these, you know, Ben Smith's gone to fullback.
Yeah.
Just across the pitch is just absolutely brilliant. So, Arden Zafeir's gone playing at 8, so... They've got so much strength and depth, no matter what they're going to do, they'll be able to put our affairs on the side. And as we've said a number of times during this podcast, Joe, I think there's only going to be one outcome in that one, and a very similar outcome to the game they played against Africa, I think, last weekend.
I've just noticed this, I'm looking at the bench, 2 scrum halves on the bench. There we go. There's your fun fact for the day.
Yeah, you've got Aaron Smith starting, haven't they?
Yeah, and then TJ Perenara and Brad Webber on the bench. Interesting.
Yeah, so I couldn't see TJ Perenara's name for a second, but yeah, there you go.
That is going to be odd. Also on Sunday morning is, I believe, it's another Pool C game. Yes, it is. It's France versus Tonga, 8:45 in the morning. France probably wanting to have a more dominant display than they did against the USA.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if they do struggle to sort of, this is no disrespect to Tonga at all, but if they do struggle, Joe, and they do sort of make heavy weather actually getting the result against Tonga, then there'll be even more sort of people talking about how inconsistent France are. Again, we expect them to win. Again, you know, that big game was Argentina right at the start, and everyone was talking. It was their group stage was bookended by 2 absolutely massive games. So you expect them to win, and that's what France fans, and I think the players will want. They'll want a polished performance, no hiccups, no injuries, no under the cosh from Tonga. They'll want to get through that completely unscathed, and then all eyes on that England game next Sunday.
Yeah, we'll only look through to, I think, the Wednesday, which is when you have Wales' game. So we'll look through to then, because I've got a game on the Tuesday the 8th. So there's Monday off again, Chris. Well, not off, but you know what I mean. South Africa versus Canada at the Kobe Misaki Stadium. Canada playing indoors yet again, actually. So I get this game, and I'm going to see Canada not score a try again.
Is that what you're expecting, Joe?
Yeah.
No try again from Canada. I mean, you know, Italy are coming close here. Well, they've just conceded a penalty, and that could possibly be a red card.
Yeah, I don't know what he was doing there. That was bizarre. Was that the replacement loose head?
I think so. He's just ticked.
Is it Vermaelen?
Yeah, Vermaelen, I think.
Dwayne Vermaelen, by the looks of things?
Yeah,
oh, he looks rocked.
Yeah. I was just about to say that Italy are on, you know, camping themselves in a 22 against Africa, so Canada can take a bit of a leaf out of it, but they've just, I don't know what has happened there.
He's lost his head. I don't know what I saw him pick him up, and I was like, he's not going to drop him, is he? And then,
yeah, Dwayne Vermaelen's been tipped upside down, and that is quite an effort in itself, but they've not put him down safely, so be interested to see what Wayne Barnes does here. But anyway, Joe, as I'm watching this, yeah, I mean, you've got to go in, Joe, a bit optimistic. Surely you've got to hopefully see Canada score a try at this World Cup.
Well, South Africa might be without Dwayne Vermaelen for this game, so, you know, things might go a bit better than anticipated. No, I just think Canada lost a winger called Taylor Paris, who plays for Cast in France. He has been replaced by Kane Noah Lloyd. I think, I was about to say, Canada haven't prepared well for the, oh my God, oh my word, it's 2 of them.
That's a red card.
Is it 2 red cards? It might be two red cards, you know.
More referee decisions talked about the podcast.
This is two red cards. That could have broken his collarbones.
That's both of them. Both of them have made no attempt to bring Vermaelen down, have they?
That's just stupidity. Play was dead. For the podcast listeners, you're going to get a live reaction to mine and Chris's interpretation of what has gone on here, because I'm saying two red cards to the two props.
Yeah, I'd say that, Joe. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
It's just, play was dead. It'd been dead. Oh, he's only bringing one.
He's bringing one of them.
Red.
And it's a red.
That is a red. Fair play, Barnsley. Fair play, Barnsley.
Yeah, we called it. Who's gone?
The starting loose head, Andrea Lovotti.
So he's gone. I wonder what's going to happen here to Pablo, because he was involved in it as well.
Yeah, he should be redded as well, unless he didn't put any force in.
Yeah, unless Lovetti's the first man to have gone. He's made the first contact with Vermaelen, but that's a shame, isn't it, for Italy? Yeah. You know, they seem to be applying a bit of pressure on the South African try line now, and now we're just 14 men right at the start of the second half.
Mm.
I think we're just going to get a replay of it again here.
Well, that was an absolute great put down by Bram Steyn.
that was a break from Italy initially. That's something they've got in the locker, but to have done that's brainless. It really is brainless from Lovetti, and that will cost. I can't see Italy really getting back into the game now. I know there's a long way to go, but South Africa right in control of this one.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we're talking about this South Africa Canada game. Canada will not have. Well, quite frankly, they don't have the physicality to even match up in the first place. That's what we've seen from these first two games, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, I think it will be a struggle. Will be a struggle for United Canada, Joe, I'm afraid. I can't see them getting any joy out of South Africa in that one on Tuesday.
And if there's ever a game they're going to win, it's going to be the one against Namibia, which is last up in, I think, next weekend. Yeah, so that's the early kickoff. That's a 4:15 in the morning kickoff, as I remember. So that's going to be fun. We'll briefly just get through this one. Argentina versus the USA. Probably going to be an Argentina win, unless Argentina maybe just don't rock up to this one thinking it's going to be an easy game.
Yeah. I think it all depends really on how they get on Saturday, isn't it, Joe? Tomorrow against England. Argentina, now they have to pick up as many points as they can now. I think it rests on what happens, doesn't it, against England tomorrow. If they do manage to get a result, how much pressure will there be on Argentina to get the 5 points against the USA? I mean, regardless of the result, they'll want to get the 5 points, won't they, against the USA. But, USA may fancy the chance of trying to get something from that game. But if Argentina do hold hopes of maybe sneaking into second place, they will have to get a bonus point win against the USA on Wednesday morning.
Yeah, of course. And whilst we speak, South Africa have just scored a try through Peter Steph Dutoit, already making the most of that man advantage. Great try it was, too. Also on Wednesday, the 9th of October, Scotland take on Russia. Russia haven't offered too much this World Cup other than in the opening game, so it probably would be fair to suggest that a Scotland win, bringing everything into contention at the end of the tournament, is probably the most likely thing to happen. Ooh.
Yeah. Sorry, Joe. I'm just looking at what we're looking for here, forward or off.
I think blocking by Sia Khaleesi, by the looks of things, to me. There he is.
No.
It'd be harsh, that.
That's fine. That Scotland game, you know, they've had the turnaround after.
It
will be over a week, won't it? Oh, he's not given the try.
No, it's gone. Wiped off the board, mate.
So, still 17 feet to South Africa.
Oh, well, I might have to cut that bit out and be a bit less embarrassing, that one.
On that Scotland game, you know, they've had a week off, well, probably just over a week, hasn't it, since they played Samoa. So, they'll be probably going to go into this game with... It'd be an interesting one for Greg Townsend, because he knows how important it is for them to get that result against Japan. So whether they, you know, make a few changes but go relatively strong, I think that's what they'll do, and then they'll go full pelt against Japan for that game. But yeah, Scotland, very similar to Argentina, will know that 5 points is a necessity on Wednesday.
Yeah, and the final game we'll talk about, Chris, is one that you are covering. It's Wales versus Fiji at the Altice Stadium. probably one of, if not the game of that week.
Yeah, I think Fiji's victory against Georgia's given them a bit of heart, like I said. I expect Wales not to go 100% strong, and by the time Wales play again, it would have been a week and a half, probably. Well, yeah, pretty much a week and a half since they played Australia. So I expect Wales not to go full pelt in this one, and maybe go, you know, a bit of a mixture to make sure they get the 5 points on the board, and then they may be resting players against Uruguay next Sunday before the quarterfinals, with a likely quarterfinal clash against one of France or Argentina. So it will be interesting, but I think, like I said before, I think Fiji will look at that game and think, right, you know, let's put that Uruguay performance to one side, let's go with how we performed against Australia and see if we can keep our discipline and keep our shape and keep our defensive structure in place, because, you know, they caused Australia problems, and as we saw, Australia were able to go what caused Wales problems. So it's not out of the realms of possibility that Fiji can make life uncomfortable for Wales on Wednesday, but you do expect Warren Gatland's side to make it 3 wins from 3.
Yeah, and that is the exciting thing about this game, is that Fiji will be coming in really confident, especially after that really quite dominant win in the end over a, I want to say a tired Georgia side, but they had made a lot of changes.
This is Fiji's last pool game, isn't it, as well?
Mm.
So, you know, they've had a pretty decent break as well since beating Georgia. So, like you say, Joe, they'll be full of confidence. They'll go full pelt. They want to sign off for the World Cup with a victory. And like you say, they are second at the moment. And you expect Australia, obviously, to beat Uruguay tomorrow morning. But Fiji will give it their all, and it'll be very interesting to see how it plays out going into that final sort of round of pool matches, whether Australia will need to get a result against Georgia. I don't think it'll come to that, but Fiji will try and put as much pressure on Wales, and then obviously Australia in terms of the group as well.
Yeah. So that's kind of all our final. That's kind of our final preview for this little podcast. We'll probably do another podcast next Thursday.
I'd say so, Joe.
Because you're otherwise engaged over the weekend, so we can't really round up the weekend's action until I think the Tuesday. But I think me and you are seeing each other on the Tuesday.
Yeah.
So there we go. We can do two things at once. There, we've got two podcasts then, really. Sorted.
Yeah. We can do that. Joe, obviously be on my laptop and stuff on next weekend. But yeah, I think the podcast next Thursday goes into those final pool matches very nicely.
Yeah. So as the rising sun burns bright in Japan, myself and Chris will be bringing you more podcasts as the tournament progresses. It's been a really enjoyable tournament so far. South Africa are probably about to score a try against Italy as I'm rounding this up. Oh, what was he doing?
Willie LaRue just decided to slice his kick straight out of play rather than chipping it over the last man. So yeah, he's disappointed with that one.
Well, that's a man that's going to be living in Japan at the end of this tournament. Probably you're going to have to get used to the conditions fairly sharply.
He might not be living that one down in the change room after
Japan. Oh, that was horrific.
Not the best at all. Completely sliced it, doesn't he? So.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That was ugly. But yeah, you can follow Chris, which I believe is at @C_Heal on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah,
and then you can follow me at JoeHarvey34 on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You can find Talking Rugby Union at Talk Rugby Union on Twitter, at Talking Rugby Union on Instagram, and then just type in Talking Rugby Union on Facebook and we should be the top one. And it's the same with LinkedIn, actually. I should probably plug the LinkedIn a bit more than I already do. Yeah, Chris, thank you for joining me on this call. I understand you're a very, very busy man in the world of media. And, yeah, I'm sure you'll hear us next time.